tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 428 of the Toonami Escape Podcast. I am C. Kohler, and with me tonight is Seda.
Hello.
And returning, Grexino.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, it's been a bit.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked to you since the lineup changed.
You're right. I don't think. Was that that was the last time I was on. Yeah, I was not on for Lazarus. I was not on for Common Side Effects. I think it was when they changed the lineup, right. And also it was like, and bye, Toonami Friday.
That's right, yep. Yeah. So you never were around for our Common Side Effects talk, and then Lazarus, Blue Exorcist are both new for
you. What if you put Common Side Effects in the ranking?
Pretty high. It's pretty high.
I think it's a great show. It's just, one, it's not really a Toonami show.
No.
And two, I'm hoping Common Side Effect gets more. Early on, Common Side Effects felt very,
the pharmaceutical companies could cure cancer, but they won't because they'll make more money selling you the other stuff. And it's like, I was hoping, it's like, okay, you can't seriously be coming in here and going, there's a magical mushroom that takes you on a trans-dimensional trip and heals even death, but there's no side effects.
Yeah. I thought the show did a pretty good job of balancing all of that.
I thought it was getting there at the end, but it's still a little bit unbalanced. I think season two will hopefully make the balance even greater. Okay. Because now Crazy Lady is dumping that shit into the water, and it's clear, like, this is obviously not good.
Yeah. I think our ranking mostly had to do with just the quality of the show and the quality of the writing and the performances and everything. It was as far away as it was from what we would consider a normal Toonami show. It was just so well made.
I need an entire season about Rick.
We like Rick.
Rick is good.
Speaking of news, let's talk over the news. Here we got a couple of things. First up, it was revealed at the big Netflix hoo-ha thing that they do. A clip of the first ever footage of the live-action Chopper from the live-action One Piece Season 2.
Here he is.
I thought he looked all right.
It's not as bad as, like, original CG Sonic. But it's not, I don't know, it's okay.
It's not, I think he's okay. I don't think they nailed it. I think he looks creepy.
I think it's his eyes. They're too dark. They look a little too much like a reindeer's eyes and not enough human. That's probably the one thing I would tweak on it. Other than that, he basically is like Detective Pikachu quality.
And no, because here's the thing. Detective Pikachu is way cuter. Chopper kind of looks too off-putting.
I saw a lot of people basically saying he needed to be cuter. And I don't know if that means the eyes needed to be bigger.
It's the
eyes
face. Too small? It's the face.
I think it's his eyes. I saw someone do like their like interpretation of it where all they did was just replace his eyes with brighter eyes and it kind of made a big difference. But as far as the body dimensions and the quality of the animation and everything, I thought it was good.
I bet there'll be a lot of scenes where he's talking but off screen.
Could be. Yeah, I mean, they do have to cut corner somewhere. It does give me a lot of faith though that like if they ever get to Brook, it's like Brook will be a piece of cake compared to this.
They're never getting there. They're never getting canceled after that. 3 seasons like every other Netflix show.
It's gonna be they'll have to pick up the pace, I think, because that's the other thing.
Like, this is not coming out until 2026, and then they haven't even seen a script for season, or no, that's Last of Us, but like season 3 of One Piece will come out in what, 2029? And at that point it's definitely over.
In order to get to Brook, they have to get through what, Alabasta, Skypiea, and Water 7? That's a lot.
I think Alabasta's in this season, though.
Okay.
Well, no, it's not. It's not.
I mean, it's close.
It's, yeah, season two is through up through Drum Island, but no Alabasta. I think that was almost confirmed.
Isn't Alabasta basically just pretty soon after Drum Island?
Like, it's at immediately least following.
It's right after, but that's right. How they're splitting it up. They're doing remember, they have to still do Logue Town.
Yeah.
They haven't done Logetown. They still have. They have to do all that. They have to do Laboon. They have to do. Well, like, maybe they won't do Laboon, but they have to do. They cast all the guys from Whiskey Peak and Little Garden, and then they have Drum Island, and that's basically said. That's where they're stopping.
Yeah. So Alabasta would be season three. Yeah, I mean, it's moving slow, but again, like I said, I mean, Oda's also kind of bankrolling this a bit, so I kind of feel like as long as people keep putting money into it, it'll keep getting made. I have higher hopes for One Piece live action continuing than I do most Netflix shows.
I just don't see how it can make it past season three.
Well, that's the pessimist in you.
Even Eiichiro Oda cannot withstand the inevitability of the 3-season cancellation Netflix show. Unless you're like Stranger Things.
I was going to say Stranger Things season 5.
Well, Stranger Things is like the exception. That and like House of Cards, but they should have canceled House of Cards after season 3.
To me, Stranger Things doesn't hold a candle to the overall appeal of One Piece, so.
Well, not probably not internationally, but in the US, the Stranger Things is like huge.
So any other thoughts on this before we move on?
Nope. I'm excited to watch the show. 2026 is so far away.
I will say, too, that the showrunner, he did work on this season, but he at the end of filming, he decided he was going to take a break. So there's like some concern there that the show might not have exactly the same feel as season one. But like I said, he was there for the entire filming of the show. I think he's bowed out before they did post-production. So it's more like and it wasn't like any kind of drama or anything. He was just like burnt out. He just said, I need to take a break. And it was like in the sense of like he was taking a break because he was going to come back, but he was taking a break from the show. So I think as long as that guy was involved for the most of
I think it'll be better than Spawn.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think it will be as good. Certainly.
I think the stuff is just better.
You mean the content?
Yeah.
The only other news I had was they did show a new animated Toonami bump, a new ID. Nothing really to say about it. It's just another fun little animated bit. Sarah basically constructing weapons onto Tom.
I didn't see it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was just a fleeting thing. Yeah, it's always neat when they air new ones of those.
Yeah, they probably commission fans to do that sort of thing, you know, artists.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's it for the news. This is we're into our normal block rotation now, so it's going to be Lazarus, Bleach, Blue Exorcist, and 2 One Pieces, and so we will begin with Lazarus. Lazarus, Episode 9, Death on 2 Legs.
How do you like your steak?
I like my steak medium.
Give me a medium rare, please.
But just by itself, no sides, just steak.
The second this guy was smacking around steak with his mouth open, I was like, I hope this guy dies. Disgusting. Kill this guy.
This guy's eating at Peter Luger's steakhouse, and that's all he eats is steak. Says something about you got to keep his protein up or something. Mysterious guy. We've never seen him before. He's a little tease here at the beginning of the episode for who he's going to be.
And he only eats the steak. He doesn't have anything with it.
Have an extremely specific protein intake for my job as, I'm going to check my notes here, not even an assassin, just the face guy for an assassin.
Yeah. Then we get this really cool sequence that he leaves the steakhouse and just slowly walks down the street in kind of semi slow motion with this music playing, with his head's kind of tilted to the right. And we just see like people running for their lives, some kind of like crime
scene.
There's
a mass shooting going on and he's just walking through it somehow.
He just is completely unfazed by it.
And also just like whatever law enforcement is around, just kind of lets them be.
Yeah, they were like, they didn't even notice him for some reason.
Is he real?
Yeah.
He's just that cool.
Does he just have invisibility? I don't know.
He's just so unassuming that you don't even notice he's there.
He's actually very assuming. He stands out a lot. If I saw that guy on the street, I'm like, that's it. That's an
He has very interesting, like, octagonal shaped glasses, and yeah, seems like a creepy guy. Meanwhile, back at the barbershop, Chris is recovering from her injuries. She's there with Elana. Also, that cat is running around, and they actually, like, comment on it.
They actually acknowledge the cat. Oh, yeah, we have a cat.
Yeah, she even goes as far as to say, well, maybe he can be part of the team.
He'd do more than Leland.
Leland's... he flies drones. That's
what does,
his thing.
Yes, what does Leland do? What?
He flies drones.
He has a remote control.
He's a guy, he's a kid with a remote control who flies drones. Lazarus.
Well, we learned in this episode what he does. What he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, well, there's that as well, which we'll get to. We also, in the preview for the next episode, are going to learn more about him. But I guess he's like a whiz kid kind of character.
But for drones specifically.
Yeah, he's just good at that. We cut over to the Pentagon. The Department of Defense is having a big meeting. And they're meeting to discuss Team S5, a.k.a. Lazarus.
Can I cut in here? Because this is the perfect time for me. I haven't been able to talk about Lazarus at all. So you guys, I don't know. You guys don't know what I think about Lazarus. I don't really know what you guys think about Lazarus. What do you guys think about Lazarus?
I think at this point, a lot of us thought it was very slow starting the first couple of episodes. And it took a while for characters to like start warming up to characters. And I think we eventually got to that point. I think none of us like hate the show, but none of us were amazed by it. I think we used that phrase several times. We're just kind of like, it's okay.
I'm firmly on Lazarus. And I thought it was absolute, like when I saw the main plot of this episode was the Department of Defense is having a hearing on why Lazarus is seemingly wasting everybody's time. That was just hysterical to me because the layers. the layers. This is a show. So my main huge mega 1A problem with Lazarus. How the fuck are we going to start off with a, oh my god, ticking clock. This mysterious scientist has announced everyone's going to die in a month and then disappeared. We have to find him. There's a thing at the end of every episode saying how many days we have left. What is the content of the episode? Mostly just faffing about, and when we are doing something, it doesn't even really work.
I agree with you on that respect, and I actually in the last episode brought that up. I said, I think the one issue I have with the show is that I'm trying to reconcile this idea of the ticking clock. Now, they do address that in multiple ways in this episode. First of all, that's the whole point of the meeting. Is they're like, Lazarus isn't getting anything done.
Yes, but you can't have a meet. You can't have in universe people having a meeting about why your show doesn't work out of universe.
Well, no, let me explain why. Though I think I have an answer for that. And that is also addressed in the episode after they receive a second message from Skinner. But before they receive that message, I brought this up last week, is that it's really a big mystery at this point whether Skinner's announcement is true or not. With the exception of maybe one monkey that we saw die, there was never any real evidence that there was any real risk. People believed him, but there was no physical proof that there was going to be deaths involved. And there's honestly, there kind of still isn't. I also brought up the idea that, and I don't want to rehash too much of what I said last week, but just basically the idea is like, what is zero day? What does that mean? Now, we did learn in this episode what it meant, but last week I didn't know. And I'm like, what does that mean? Does that mean that maybe when we reach day zero, someone might die? And how many people? Like 10? Like, we don't know anything. Now, it was revealed in this episode that Skinner put out a message. I'm kind of skipping ahead here a little bit. This actually happened.
Fine. I think I would like to discuss a lot of this stuff like more overall and holistically anyway.
Okay.
So.
Well, anyway, he does put out a message during the meeting, and he basically says it's been 20 days since his first announcement. And he says that in 10 more days, he will be the first person to die because he was the first to take the medicine. I assume the first human person to take the medicine.
Yes.
Does that mean that he will die and then
Well, obviously, the answer is he'll die, and then nobody, it'll be now be impossible to find, to ever get a cure, and then everyone else will inevitably die after that. So the ticking clock isn't even accurate anyway.
Right, but now, if anything, the ticking clock should be more pressing now, and they kind of address that in this episode. They're like, now we only have 10 days, and otherwise we're going to be out of luck. Now, having said that, there was a scene earlier that brought back something that was dropped in episode 2, which was that Chris found some mysterious pill.
I thought this was also hilarious, where Chris is just like, oh yeah, that pill, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you think they
would have cared more. What are we doing here, Lazarus? Are you serious people?
They're bringing that back up. Also, to give them the benefit of the doubt, this isn't their job, okay?
So why are they in... that's another major problem I have. Why are these... The Lazarus, 30 days to save the world. We have gathered these five people. Why?
They each bring some skill to it.
But, okay, literally the one I understand the most is Elena, because super hacker, sure. Everyone else is like, parkour guy.
Chris is a literal secret agent.
Femme fatale.
She's a secret agent, dude. She was a Russian expat.
Cool black guy who I don't know anything about. And kid who fly drone.
I think my major... So, first of all, I think this show is okay. I think it's getting better as we move along here, but I feel like
it peaked at the one where they were underwater and scuba diving to chill music. Yes.
I feel like that episode should have been earlier.
I think that is like the skeleton key of like, oh, I think this is what Lazarus was like supposed to be the whole time. And then I'm questioning whether we came along later and were like, you know, I have a really good relationship with Chad Stahelski. What if I just forced a bunch of like awesome action sequences in there? And they are cool. But
I just think in the early parts of the show, like episode 2 is like the episodes that are like complete red herrings. I feel like episode 2 is probably the worst of the show so far.
No, it's the one with the hacker girl in the van going radical. And I just want to shoot myself in the head. And that one, that episode also had the elevator scene, which one, looked weird, and two, was also like, why is this here? We have an action scene here for just kind of to have one?
I kind of feel like some of the stuff that's happening in like episode 7, 8, and 9 here should have been shunted up earlier in the season to like give us some more dynamics between like characters. Because the earlier episodes, when we didn't really know a whole lot about the characters, like I think episode 1 was kind of the necessary episode, and then like episode 4 at the club was, you know, kind of one of the standouts early on. And just I feel like some of the stuff early on, like with the cult, kind of like gave us a very thin backstory to Elena and whatnot, but otherwise not that great of an episode. I just kind of feel like some of the stuff that we're seeing now, or maybe in more recent episodes, like 7, 8, 9, should have been earlier and like take out some of those earlier episodes that were kind of, you know, kind of felt filler-ish, especially with this whole structure of this, you know, ticking clock. So
I sort of disagree, because I think this stuff happening now should be episode like 12 and 13 of a 24 episode show. That's another thing, is that this isn't yet another original anime in the 2020s that clearly suffers from not being 24 episodes.
Now, my overall feeling on the show is kind of similar to Seda's. I think the show is getting better the more I watch it. And I think it has to do with I like watching these characters get to know each other and bounce off each other more. At the early part of the season, they were very much didn't want to interact. And that made it kind of boring. And now that they're kind of being more chummy, it's more interesting. I will agree. I'm identify some of the flaws with the plot in so far as like the lack of urgency. But I also advocated like early on, like in episode 2 or 3, that I was like, they did address briefly in episode 1 that there were a few people who kind of rioted and like some people who went kind of crazy when the announcement first came out.
And after that, nothing changed. Everyone's going to work. It's like, dude, I'm not going to my job at the steakhouse if the world's going to end in 10 days.
No, I advocate the opposite. I think this show is making a point about the absolute apathy of our culture, and that the fact that people, when faced with the potential end of the world, probably won't do jack shit to stop it. I think that the show may be smarter than you think in that regard.
I mean, maybe there's something there.
I think when people start dying, things will change. But until then, even the bureaucrats aren't taking it seriously enough. And that's what I'm kind of thinking this episode's about.
Do you think the show actually will end the story in its 13 episodes?
I would say my feeling is yes, that it will probably end. Although I think that Toonami will still announce the season finale of Lazarus, but I have a feeling it'll be the end.
Because now that we've introduced a new assassin character to take out Axel, and we haven't any progress on Skinner at all. It's kind of like, how are you going to land this plane in the remaining
three to four
episodes?
Mm-hmm. There is a chance that there could be a second season. I don't know, but my gut tells me right now that this was like a one-shot kind of thing. But I don't know. We'll see.
And how could that ending possibly be satisfying?
I don't know.
It feels like it is almost inevitably going to come down to, that thing we just totally like glossed over earlier in the season was obviously the key. Like, everyone called out that flower he sent to his mom is probably the key. Then also, like, wasn't that him in that homeless camp? Like, he was right there.
I think that will be true, actually. That was too obvious. I mean, I think Axel will play a big part in the finale as well, as because we just don't know what his backstory is at all yet. So that's going to be a part of these last episodes for sure. Just to quickly recap the rest of the episode, though, basically it's about Leland being called in to testify to Lazarus's activities. And he kind of is brutally honest, to the point that, yes, they did kind of goof off, but then they also did follow leads and try to accomplish things. Anyway, this is when we run into this new character again. I didn't write down this quote unquote bad guy. This is this like guy who's anti Lazarus, who works at the Department of Defense or something. Anyone know?
I
don't know who he is.
There's a guy named Hayes, and there's Schneider.
Okay.
His name is Schneider.
Yeah, he seems to have it out for Lazarus.
Well, specifically Axel.
Yeah, he thinks getting rid of Axel is going to solve his problem. So he's the one who contacts this bespeckled guy who goes by the name HQ.
What is his problem, though? Why does he want?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
We don't know what Axel's about. Like,
it's episode 9 of 13.
But I think it has to do with not so much Axel. I think it has to do with making Lazarus fail for some reason.
But I think that's more specifically about Axel.
I mean, they even at the end of this episode, they specifically tell this guy who passes the test, here's your target, and it's Axel, and we don't know why.
It's not like kill everyone in Lazarus. It's
But then why have him in those scenes earlier giving Lazarus a bad name in front of everybody?
Because Axel's in it, I guess.
I kind of took it the other way around. I kind of took it like he wants to see Lazarus fail, and getting rid of Axel's the way to do it is the way I took it. I could be wrong, but that's how I took it. Anyway, yeah, there's some crazy Chinese-speaking assassin who takes out an entire squad of people. That was the test. And he does it with like some kind of wire, and it was a pretty badass scene.
Incredible action scene, honestly. Yeah.
This whole show is, if anything, full of amazing choreography.
Yes. I do question if it's actually adding anything to the show, if it's like supporting the show and making the rest of the show better, or if it's just in isolation, these scenes rock.
Hmm.
But would the show be better if it didn't have them and was more like the scuba diving episode the whole time?
Why not both?
I feel like
action movies just also suffer from this sometimes, so it is what it is.
Like, I feel my feeling is that the action has been is like that came along like the action element of it came along maybe later. Like, it was somebody, Jason DeMarco, was like, we should have action in this show, and boy do I have the guy for you. As opposed to like Ninja Kamui, where it all Ninja Kamui at least, I think this is always exactly what this is supposed to be, and they made a bad decision with the CGI, but I think they made that decision.
I kind of disagree with this thesis that the action must have come in like partway through
it
production.
It just feels disconnected from the rest of the show to me.
What do you think, Seda?
I mean, like, the first episode had a big sequence, and then the fourth episode had a big sequence, like an action sequence.
It's probably very hard to get more than that at this quality, though. Like, you can't have one of these every episode.
No, I'm not saying they should.
I would argue, if you wanted to be ultra-pessimistic, I would say it was more the akin of, hey, we loved Cowboy Bebop, get us something that's similar to that. And that's why the action's in there from the beginning. Also, I believe one of the core people working on this show is known for their action choreography.
Yes, Chan Stahelski. That is, but yes,
in the DNA of the show. So it's not something they added later.
But what I know, it was announced. I guess he was announced at the same time as me. He was from like the very burgeoning of this project. This was supposed to be in there.
I don't think there's been an action sequence that wasn't prompted by something that was happening in the plot. Like, breaking in the elevator sequence you brought up earlier was part of their investigation to get to the top floor of that building in order to get in contact with that CEO. I mean, like, that
but
was
all the action scenes so far have ultimately felt super, like, they didn't lead anywhere.
What do you mean?
That's pretty much action, every action scene in every action.
Well, it's partly because all the leads end up as dead ends, right?
I think that's the broader issue.
The issue is the fact that they can't solve the problem. Everything that they've done, with the exception of the episode where they went nowhere, which I thought was a kind of a cool episode where it was more about like the general feeling, where the whole point of the episode was like, basically, did Skinner send us out here just for us to see what the real world is like? Anyway, but that aside, all of the other episodes have pretty much, and again, have led to some clue that gave them some other thing to investigate. And action scenes are just a mechanism by which you can get there in a fun way.
You may disagree, and that's totally valid, but I still think the stuff that's happening now, I would have shunted it earlier in the season and maybe dropped some of those early episodes. I'm concerned that the final four episodes are going to be too, especially now that we're introducing this new assassin character and all this stuff. Like, I feel like these final four episodes are like, there's a lot to cover. And we'll see what happens.
You've shoved the entire plot progression into the last four episodes.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, basically everything from episode one till now was basically like, yeah, it could have been an email.
I don't want to be too cynical and say nothing up to this point didn't matter. I just kind of feel like maybe there was one or two red herrings that weren't necessarily needed and didn't add a whole lot.
Definitely Ilana's backstory episode didn't really add anything that I felt was important.
And like, not even that thematically. Like, I know if you want to be super cynical, like, you know, not everything has to be in service of the front to back plot, but even just like thematically, some of those early episodes are just kind of like, well, there wasn't anything interesting being shown or said, or no, not even any interesting character dynamics, let alone the plot. It was just kind of like, well, that was whatever.
So. Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying a moment ago, where like, at least now that the crew are starting to jive with each other and them bouncing off each other, that's more than we got in those early episodes for sure. And I understand there needs to be a transition period where they get to know each other, but like, it sounded like it went on a little too long. So
anyways, an assassin, he killed a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I guess this is going to be like the big bad of the show at this point. Someone who's out to take out Lazarus. So
sure,
and we'll quite a bit will hinge on what Axel's deal is, and is it related to the Skinner stuff at all, or is it sort of separate?
Axel's whole deal, mom's dead, parkour.
Well, also his deal is that he apparently Hopna doesn't work on him, which
I think
very important.
He said he took it.
Maybe that's why. Oh, you know what? I just had a brain blast. This guy, this evil guy, maybe he wants people to die. Maybe he's part of like Skinner's plan. And then maybe not so much with Skinner, but in the very least, maybe he's some kind of like wants to see the world burn kind of character. And he knows taking out Axel will prevent them from finding the cure. insofar that Axel may be the cure.
But what about the military guy? Why is the military guy going along with this?
Yeah, who knows? Everybody has to have
like he's literally described as a dyed-in-the-wool military man from army man. Why is he what's his thing? Why like if we believe that from our what's his name? Aster character, like why?
I feel like some of these character mysteries should have been happening earlier.
Yeah.
Well, I would say once again, give me 24 episodes and you'll have plenty of time to do everything better.
That's the other way to look at it is that we're relitigating things. But I guess the last thing I'll say on this is Axel's story and purpose here has to do something with Hoppner and Skinner, right? There has to be some connection. What is it? Who knows?
Mm. Yeah, I think he'll be the key.
Turns out parkour cures you of Hoppner.
All right, well, let's move on to Bleach. Bleach, Episode 3, March of the Star-Cross. Again, another episode title that I don't know what it means. I don't know who the Star-Cross is, but...
You know what? Neither does Kubo.
I was going to say, this is from the same author who gave us a chapter called The Heart.
So, Uryu has this little amulet that he's carrying that's kind of got this little cross on it, and it seems like some of the other Quincy's do. So it's like March of the Star Cross might be like March of the Quincy's. Like that's their symbol.
That's their symbol. Okay. That makes sense. I did explain last week or the week before as well, just so you know, Grex, that I'm kind of gumming into Bleach kind of blind. I did watch like a 40-minute recap video last week.
Like, honestly, it's even if you... Bleach has too many characters, and so it's not going to
be... Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't remember the character names at all.
Obviously, I read the manga at what point. Do I remember who the fuck this weird guy and his pal Don Dachaka are? No.
This is one of those things where... So I watched every single episode of Bleach.
Bleach is like, what if One Piece wanted you to remember every character in it all the time?
But like, for example, in this episode here, well, like I remembered Nell, although I'm like, didn't she turn into an adult at one point? I guess she's a kid again.
Yes, she did. But we forgot about that.
And then I like each of these characters that show up. I'm like, I recognize them. I don't remember their name or what they did, but I think recognize
this trio
them.
And their monster at some point had a fight in the False Karakura Town arc. But there were so many fights in that arc. The other two, the earlier two girls, it's like, who the fuck knows?
I remember, like, Holly Bell, if that's her name.
My
first thought was, oh, I thought she died.
Yeah, she was one of the top three. And yeah, we also thought she died, but now she actually died? Question mark?
I don't think she's dead, but she's been captured by...
Yes, she's being used in order to facilitate transportation, I believe.
And then... I forget if this was the last episode or episode three, but like these two girls show up that were like, we're Aizen's subordinates or whatever. I'm like, do I remember these characters?
No. They weren't Aizen's subordinates. Those are the Trez something.
No, not those three.
Oh, not them. Okay.
Not those two girls. The other girls. I forget if this is episode two or three because I watched
Bleach consists entirely of those two guys from Naruto. And then that other guy from Naruto, but not those two guys from Naruto.
Kind of.
So they were having like there was a firing squad with these Quincy.
Oh, those two girls.
People.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, who are these two girls? I think I recognize them, but maybe they just look similar to other people I do recognize.
Take what you're saying right now, Seda, and apply it to every character in the show. And that's how I'm watching it right now. Now, granted, like I said, I watched a recap video that gave me, that was more about, not so much about the characters, although it did help a little bit there. It was more about understanding the basics for things. Like, I didn't even understand like what the hell the Soul Society was. Like, I remember watching Bleach back when it was on New Toonami, but I caught it in the middle. And so it was kind of an interesting watch because, you know, it's a decent anime, but
don't
like
think too hard about the Soul Society. It doesn't make sense.
Well, yes, it does. I mean, like, that's my point is that like,
I swear we had discussions back in the day about this is like, so everyone's afterlife is feudal, is like Edo Japan.
Yeah. But I mean,
that's crazy.
I'm just saying that I didn't understand the mechanics of the world. Now, had I waited till this episode, I would have been okay, because there was a long sequence in this episode where one of the characters basically lays it out to these two nobodies, who I'm assuming are only here for exposition, basically explaining what the Soul Society is and how the world works. When people die, they go to the Soul Society, then the Soul Societies go back into the living, and this balance, basically.
And
this
importantly, why it like why it's like, okay, we kill Kalos, but it's good when we do it, but it's bad when the Quincy's do it, because
the people don't return to the...
And that's why we had to kill all the Quincy's. Are we the bad guys? We might be.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And so, yeah, this episode was kind of setting all that out as well, about this idea of, like, I liked the idea about, like, they were once called the Balancers, because before they were called Soul Reapers, because the idea was to keep the balance.
I would have kept that old name. I would have kept that old name. I think it was better branding.
Yeah, I guess it must have been a translation thing to call them Soul Reapers, though.
No, I think it was always kind of like that.
Well, they call them Shinigami in Japanese, apparently.
Yeah, that's kind of like a direct translation.
Yeah, I guess.
Or God of Death. Or, yeah. Anyway, yeah. I just wanted to say, after so long away from Bleach, it did feel very comforting to be back, even though it's not good. It's not technically what you would call good.
I don't know. I think it's all right. I mean, like Crocodile was kind of saying last week, and I agree with him, is that it's just Bleach. I mean, it's not any better or worse. It's just Bleach.
It's not that Bleach has changed. It's that's my relationship to Bleach has changed.
It's kind of stupid, but it's kind of entertaining, even though it's stupid.
You brought this up two weeks ago, Seda, and I agree with this as well, is that like when the show does its comedy, it's all right. Like, I don't mind it. Like, it's kind of fun. My problem with the show, and I don't even say problem with big quotes, but basically my issue is that it's complicated and it has a bajillion characters and everyone gets called by their full names at all times.
And don't forget their seat. You have to say out loud that you're the fifth seat. Yada, 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 yada.
Yeah. So that's kind of where like it becomes difficult to watch. But like the actual action and the banter and the characters bouncing off each other, that's fun. And the show looks good. So.
Yeah, it does look good. Hueco Mundo at night is a mood. I want to be.
I liked the when they're in Hueco Mundo, like the colors that they used, kind of like blues and dark browns, I guess. And it was kind of a neat tone that they used in that scene.
Also, I love the going back to the classic Bleach villain staple of regular villain with shiny bits, and then phase three.
What was this? So this guy's, he's Jay. I guess his name you have written down.
Aaron
here.
Ritter Jay.
Kilge.
Hey, they don't ever say that in the episode, I don't think, but it was in the subtitles, so I wrote it down. But he was referred to as Jay when they introduced him, but I guess maybe that's his real name. I don't know.
Kubo was like, I need a whole bunch of new characters. You know what has a lot of entries? The alphabet.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to skip ahead here. At the end of this episode, we see the Quincy's attack the Soul Society. And, like, at that point, they introduce, like, 10 of them. Like, look, all these characters will have to know.
Yeah, these are called the Stern Ritters.
Of the Wandenreich.
Of the Wandenreich. And then, like, yeah.
How do you say the main guy's name? Yawak.
So his name, it's pronounced. I looked this up just now because we're going to put this on a list. Because this is one of these names that has to be on our nomination list. It's spelled Y-H-W-A-C-H, but it's pronounced Yuha Baha.
Part of me feels like Kubo wanted to call him Yahweh, and everyone was like, no, you can't do that.
Well, last week, Crocodile pointed out that this is related to that.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, this is related to Yahweh religion thing, but yeah. Yuha Baha attacks the Soul Society, brings his Soul Ritters or whatever they're called.
Oh, do you even get that from the letters in that name?
Probably a weird translation thing from Arabic or something.
Hey guys, did you notice that the Quincy's seem kind of like Nazi themed?
Really?
What are you talking about?
Are you sure you're right about that?
Yeah. I'm joking.
Is
by
the word
way,
Kitchuus like, not really German? Plus, they're being called the Wandenreich.
Yeah, the Sturm Ritters.
Yeah, the Stern. And then last week I joked that this guy, Jay, kind of looks like a character out of...
this guy especially is extremely... It's just like, that's just a Nazi.
I mean, he even has the accent. I mean, like, it's not even...
And then he's like, let me unveil my Volstandig. here they're like Fall Stern Deek, and it's like, no, I prefer my old pirate manga site Volstandig. That sounds way cooler.
He's wearing the glasses and has the face of someone who was like a Nazi in Helsing Ultimate, basically.
Yes. this is a guy who should be getting gunned down by Alucard now.
So we learned that the head captain, the old guy, that guy, he failed to kill Yuhabaha like 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think they said his name. I think they've literally just said that man.
I think they said it. But anyway, if I'm wrong, they're going to say it. That's what it is.
There's also, I think the only other part of this episode worth mentioning is Uryu is kind of like, I thought I was the last Quincy. What's going on here? There's nothing in my father's study about all this. And he's...
Well, his father's there.
Yeah.
And he's like, I thought we were the last. And then he's like, you won't find your answers in this library. And he's like,
no, idiot. Of course Ichigo is going to be, not only is he going to be part Soul Reaper and Hollow, he's also going to be Quincy, because of course.
Oh, you think that?
Yes.
I knew that. I learned that through osmosis.
Oh, really?
It's kind of like, remember Ichigo's mom.
Okay, this is stuff I don't know, so that's news to me.
I mean, technically spoilers, but who cares?
I kind of care. Don't spoil too much.
But anyways, Uryu was reading that diary at the same time that random Soul Reaper was giving his exposition. So it was kind of cluing it that, like, okay, Uryu was kind of learning this stuff about this stuff kind of at the same time.
The true history of the Quincys, which was that they were wiped out, which is like what you said earlier, Grex, is like, are we the baddies? Yeah, kind of.
And Ichigo said something to this guy, like, how his abilities are different than Uryu's, and that guy, Jay, kind of mentioned how, like, oh, that family was, they left the Quincy's generations ago or whatever. So we learned that Uryu and his dad, are like, they're kind of like a separate former Quincy's, I guess, or they're not part of that same group.
When they attack the Soul Society at the end of the episode, everyone's freaking out because they're using Reishi. And now I will admit, I don't know what that is. What's that?
They believe that's just like pure spiritual energy.
It's the blue stuff.
It's the blue stuff.
Is that the spiritual pressure?
No.
Oh.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
That guy was like absorbing it.
I think it's like, this is the fundamental building block. All of just everything around made of Reishi. And then manipulated in different forms. But these guys, I can just turn everything into pure, unadulterated, like, unmanipulated Reishi.
Yeah.
And that means I can turn you into nothing.
And, you know, not to be surprised, but, like, of course, this Wandenreich evil Quincy army are, like, pretty much jobbing everyone right now because they're the new bad guys and they're incredibly strong.
I think that guy with like the hair over one of his eyes is like maybe a slightly important character, but he just had he's a hole now.
Yeah,
I recognize that character, but I guess he's dead.
Hey, I think he's one of the many that guy from Bleach.
Yeah. There's a lot I recognize. I will admit that, like when they have the lineups of all the captains, like I remember them. I remember
at least the captains are like somewhat memorable because you've got like Dog Guy.
Yeah, science, like little short guy.
No, like literally not Orochimaru. Like
straw hat
short guy who is super popular, like absurdly popular. Ninja, but there's some new guys because they had, remember those guys who were once captains and then they were like cast out because of Aizen, and then they were Roncar, but now they're captains again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
I mean, the thing is, it's like my point being though is that. I think I'm proof of this. You can watch this show and enjoy it without knowing all these characters. Like the only problem is they name them. And so when they talk about characters, when the character isn't on screen, that's when I have to scratch my head and go, well, who's that? But other than that, it's fine.
I like to imagine that the voice actor for Yamato was like on his deathbed and they were like, wake up, you got to do Yamato again. And they made more Bleach. And he's like, just let me die.
Crocodile last week said that when they started filming the dub of Bleach, the Final Blood War or whatever, it was a problem because they had to bring back so many actors and there was a lot of scheduling conflicts to do it. So
do you think Ichigo, do you think, oh God, what's his fucking face?
JYB?
JYB. Do you think he does Getsuga Tensho every time? Did they just record Getsuga Tensho one time and they replay it for every single Getsuga Tensho?
No, I'm certain that would be funny, but I'm pretty certain he records it anew every time because he's gonna be
very consistent at it though.
Well, also, he wants to get paid. So he's going to say it. So I'm pretty sure voice actors and I think that would be like a non-cool thing to do to an actor.
Like all the main four, I guess if you can call them that, because Lord knows the show doesn't actually think Chad is part of the main four.
Why do you say that?
Like, he's never in the show.
Yeah.
He's been in every episode of this show
every
so time, far.
Chad, every single arc, it's like Chad is going to do something and then he'll beat up Dondo Chaka and then he'll never, and then he's like, when my job here is done, see you in 500 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, Bleach has done that historically, where it's kind of like, these are our main four, and then it's like very quickly, it's like, oh no, it's just...
Remember how there's not only are there so many that guy from Bleach in the Soul Society, but there's those two girls from Bleach who are Ichigo's friends, but not his like actually important friends?
One of them, like, I remember teased early on that, like, had spiritual power and, like, nothing ever comes of it.
No. Absolutely not. Anyway, this was leading to say, everyone sounds pretty good, but me. Did he always sound like this?
Wait, say that again, you cut out.
Or you.
No, that's Derek Steven Prince. That's what he's always sounded
like. I know,
like.
But he just kind of, he sounds weird.
That's kind of what he's always sounded like.
Hmm.
He's got a very recognizable voice.
He does.
That guy.
One of the very few that I recognize on site.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's there really wasn't much that happened in the episode. The Jay fought with Ichigo, and then we got the Uryu back investigate.
It's Quillage OP?
Yeah, whatever. Quillage, I don't know. And then we learn about the balancers, and then they attack. So we're full on. The war has started. Although they said that it was going to happen in 3 days. I guess they changed their mind.
Of course, because that guy made that up. And no, we're not.
Yeah, he's like, screw it. We're going to do it now.
He exploded that guy. And then he's like, time to do it now. But good thing Yamato was like, they're just going to do it.
Yeah. All right. So still pretty good. Interesting. I'm glad to have Bleach back. It's fun.
It's kind of dumb, but it's kind of fun.
Who would have ever thought we'd be like, I'm so glad Bleach is back. Bleach and Blue Exorcist coming back is like, oh man, it's 2013 again.
It's not only is it good for Toonami, but like Bleach was like one I think we all agree just couldn't happen.
Yeah, I had said, oh, the Hulu, nothing, we are never getting anything from the Hulu zone.
Yeah.
Ever. Or the Disney Plus zone. Yeah, but I guess what matters is it's all Viz. And Viz can do whatever they want.
Right. So it's good. It's good that we got it.
It was super cool in the first episode when they're like, da 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 da.
Yeah, the music kicked in.
It's like, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm not like a big Bleach fan or anything, but I find it enjoyable to watch just because it's like, I don't know.
It's been gone just long enough to be nostalgic, and you've forgotten about all the things you don't like about Bleach, which, to be fair, this Thousand Year Blood War adaptation gets rid of a lot of them.
That's what I've heard, that it's like an improvement over the manga.
I mean, just by not being like an episode every week forever pro show, mm-hmm. and like an actual seasonal show that can be good and well-paced. Who would have thunk?
Yeah. All right, let's move on to another welcome return to the block, Blue Exorcist. Blue Exorcist, episode 28.
I have a question. How is there a show? I thought we flew a plane into hell, bomb on it, and we blew up hell.
You missed it.
Yes, I heard that Tom had to explain.
That's right.
Tom literally had to come on the air and go, okay, so Blue Exorcist, part of it wasn't real.
It is kind of interesting. I never thought about it until just now that, like, I remember DeMarco always being like,
no such thing as filler.
Yeah, but it's like now they just straight up have to admit it. They're like, now that's filler.
If we ever got the legendary Soul Eater Brotherhood, how Tom would have to go, okay, and now is the point where you ignore everything from Edelge.
I'm just imagining Tom now, like, this might seem familiar to you, but this is actually, like, a new version of the anime based on the manga, but this time it's faithful.
Yeah. I said this last week, too, is, like, I was thinking about it, like, this Blue Exorcist Season 2, this is exactly what the Soul Eater thing should be. Like, this is it, right?
Oh, yeah, they should actually just not even bother with redoing all the stuff, and because it was good in the first place.
Yeah.
They should just go back and just start from where they left off.
Exactly. I mean, they're doing with Blue Exorcist exactly the same thing they should do with Soul Eater.
Will they do that?
Who knows? I mean...
Probably not.
I mean, how old is Soul Eater now? Like, 15?
Fire Force is still popular, and they're making new episodes, so anything's possible.
Hopefully Toonami put Fire Force Season 3, and we can see the absolutely ludicrous, insane ending to Fire Force. In which you see it, you will understand.
Let's go back to Blue Exorcist. So this episode is titled Suspicion Will Raise Bogies. What a dumb name for an episode. I'm sorry.
What?
That's what it's called.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And I'm not going to go through a whole rundown because apparently we need to keep things moving. So I'm just going to paraphrase by saying this episode is about all of the people at the monastery believing that someone is a traitor and everyone's pointing fingers at everyone else. We've got like main culprits.
Yeah, I'm going to take a wild guess and say none of them.
Maybe. But the ones that were being led to believe in the show is one is that girl whose name I don't remember.
Mamushi.
Snake girl.
Mamushi, yeah.
There's triplets, but there's one Snake, specifically.
The one that actually matters.
And then one was the older brother. And then the other is the dad, the dead
bone dad.
Yeah.
Honestly, that guy needs to come do his fucking job. I'd be suspicious of him too.
Yeah, even if you are innocent, like don't give him ammunition. You should show up.
Yeah, I said this last week on the episode too, and you guys would probably agree. I think that this is all just a setup for him doing something really good. And he's just being stupidly quiet about it.
And it's going to be, the show is going to be like, obviously he was doing something incredibly good and you should have all trusted him. It's like, no, he was dumb.
I couldn't tell you what I was doing. Otherwise it would fail or something like that.
The pink haired boy whose name is Shima. Is that right?
No. It's in last week's notes. Let me look real quick, but go ahead.
He basically makes up with Ren. He's just like, it's too much work to...
Is it Renzo? His name is Renzo.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because the one guy is his big brother, who looks like him.
Juzo.
With not pink hair.
Yeah.
Oh, no, his name is Renzo Shima, so that was right.
Oh, so Shima's his last name. Oh, I didn't know
that. It's confusing because he's Shima, and there's also Shami.
Yeah.
And then there's also the boob girl, who has a very similar name as well.
Shura. Well, we can just call her Boobenstein.
Yeah, which they do in this episode, actually.
She's not wearing any clothes. This is a holy sight, ma'am.
I have two comments. One, there's a part in this episode where our main characters end up getting, like, alcohol. So they
that
start
was last
drunk.
Episode.
That was the last episode.
Anyways, what type of drunk are you? I'm a sleepy drunk, so I am very, like, yep, that would be me. If I got drunk, I'd just fall asleep.
I think I'm a laughy drunk, but I don't know because I never, ever drink except for very rare occasions.
I don't drink that often either. But
I mean, I'll take you guys one further. I've never drank anything in my life, so I have no idea.
Not even a sip?
I had a sip of wine when I was like a teenager.
I've had like a shot and a drink here and there, like a single digit number of times a year.
Yeah, maybe. It's same for me. It's like every 4 or 5 months. But anyways, one of my favorite parts of this episode was so Rin is basically kind of encountering, oh, what's his name? The bald kid, Kono Komaru.
Yeah, it's written here.
Yeah, Kono Komaru. And
yeah, the thing about the way Rin says Kono Komaru sounds fake every time.
But the one line of his that made me kind of chuckle was he literally, Rin says something like, Jesus, I'm just trying to talk. And he says, the way he says Jesus, kind of funny. And like,
hold on, that implies the existence of Jesus in the universe of the New Exorcist.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Bible.
Yeah,
but I thought it was like non-denominational Bible.
No, it's full up. They quote the Bible, dude, in this show.
but yeah, it was just kind of funny. Just I had to rewatch it to make sure that's what he says. But he does say, he says Jesus. Like, that's
don't think too hard about the religions of Blue Exorcist.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, more seriously, he's basically telling this kid, like, I am just trying to play nice, basically. I'm trying to be nice, and I know I'm, you know, I lose control of my flame sometimes and whatnot. So,
yeah, we've gotten at least three people on Rin's side at this point. We've got Izumo, who was the first and the best. Then we've got Renzo, and now we've got Kono Komaru is now lightened up. Now we need to get Shiemi and Bon.
We need to get everyone back on the Rin train.
Yeah, Shiemi will be easy, I think. She's just kind of still uncertain.
I don't think Izumo ever cared one way or the other. So she's brought.
No, but
she's like technically, she was never on the train, but she's just going to be on the train with no prodding needed.
Yeah, I made the point a couple episodes ago, though. I think that like she accepted him in her own way. I mean, she's just the eternal.
She's just like, I hated you before. I still hate you now. What's changed?
Not like I'm on your side or anything.
Yeah, but it's Tsundere. It's Tsundere. She was nice to him in her Tsundere way, so eyebrows. Anyway, Shiemi does get a bit of focus in this episode. She apparently feels really useless, and it's up to Izumo to kind of like pep talk her into thinking like, hey, you know, you can do it. She sees Rin practicing to burn the candles on the roof, trying to get those to work, and that's where she gets her idea that
he also wants to train.
He's like, oh, wait, this is a training arc.
Yeah. Also, right. Don't become Sakura.
Might be inevitable.
I hope not.
Female character in Shonen.
Yeah. Anyway, this is that leads to the scene with when Rin calls Shura Bubenstein because she's just up there giving him grief about the fact that he can't do it. He jumps off in anger and accidentally does it.
Yeah, he jumps off and he's like poof 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 poof.
Did you not realize that you just had to say poof out loud?
Yep.
Just
I liked her like reaction. He's like, I don't know if he's really gifted or just incredibly lucky. Yeah. Anyway, that was pretty much the episode. It was all about the mystery of who was the person who got the eye flame thing to happen. And I mean, honestly, in my opinion, I do think it's going to be Juzo. I think it's going to be the older brother. Particularly because at the end of the episode, he had a very, like, sinister look that he gave.
Oh, that's cool. Well, that just definitely means that's a fake out.
I don't know. Maybe. Sometimes our shows are not that clever. Sometimes they're just...
I stand by none of them.
I don't think so. They seem to make it very clear in this episode that someone had to be close by for it to happen. So I think it's one of them.
Well, that's the trick.
And I think the girl, the snake girl, because she's a snake girl, she's the red herring. Because she's a snake, and snakes are evil.
She has a snake tattoo.
Yeah, they look pretty cool, by the way. I don't really understand what their deal is. I mean, I know they work for the temple or whatever.
Well, obviously, they're just this one part of the sect that is snake.
Yeah, they're like the Orochimaru light, basically.
Yes, everyone loves. This was a great thing, a joke from the Versus Wolves podcast. Super Eye Patch Wolf's like character who always turns evil, called Evil Mascara Snake Coon.
Yeah.
Oh, Evil Mascara Snake Coon, you're so funny. Anyway, I joked to Chug that I gave him a picture of Shinra from Fire Force and Rin from Blue Exorcist. Like, corporate wants you to find the difference between these pictures. It's like, they're the same picture.
They're the same. They are very similar.
These are the same characters. Literally.
I mentioned this last week too. I like that Rin walks around now though with like his tail and everything now. Like, at least we've got past that. He doesn't just look like a normal dude anymore.
What happened to Yukio? Where'd he go?
Well, in the two episodes ago, there was like a scene where he was like out with exorcists and they were like, they found some car full of dead people. And it's like, we don't know what's going on. It's something to do with that glasses bad guy from the first episode. We don't know what his deal is. He's investigating something.
Come back, Yukio.
Yeah, I'm sure he will at some point. I feel like maybe he isn't in this arc very much because this arc very much seems to be focused around Bon and his family. So.
Is Yukio a character who can't be in the arcs that much because he's too strong? He just what?
I don't know.
No,
I don't think. I think he's. I think this is just a take a break from Yukio arc, is what I think it is.
That's more like the Mr. What's his face? Mephistopheles.
Oh yeah,
that's him.
Mephisto.
He's like, why don't you ever do anything? Is like because I just solved the plot.
Well, he's also I think secretly a big bad. So
is he? He's the principal of the school.
Yeah, but we talked about this a couple of episodes ago where he's a demon and he's like,
yes, but,
and he also like has some secret thing where he was having his brother fight Rin in secret and like keeping it on the down low. And like, he's up to shady shit is all I'm saying.
That's so obvious, right?
I think he's just playing both sides is what I said at the time. I think he's probably out for himself and probably he's not generally interested in Satan ruling the world, but he also doesn't care a lot about humans. I think he's just sort of playing both sides is my thinking. All right. Anything else about this episode? I mean, we didn't really cover the basics, but that was the gist of it, basically.
It was just setting up the mystery. Like, there is a traitor.
Is something going to start happening in this arc?
We're looking for eyeballs, man.
We're not really looking for eyeballs. We're kind of standing around in rooms.
Well, this is also character backstory time. We're learning about Bond's family. We're learning about, I keep wanting to say Konohamaru, but that's not his name. That guy's back family.
It might as well be. Hey, Konohamaru, that's not my name. Shut up. Yeah. Shut up, Konohamaru. If you didn't want to be called Konohamaru, you shouldn't have made your name like one syllable off.
Yeah, Konohamaru.
Dumbass.
I'm sure it means something completely different. All right.
Anyway, I didn't watch One Piece, but I heard Rolling Logan showed up.
Yeah, we'll get into it. So Yay. Let's talk about One Piece.
I'll let you go. I don't have anything to add. So
oh, okay.
I will just say it was great talking to you guys.
Oh, yeah. Any other last thoughts about the block in general?
It's back to, you know what? Three shows? Not that bad.
I guess four shows if you count One Piece.
Four shows if you count One Piece, but I would like One Piece to be watchable again.
Well, I was telling this to Seda just before you joined. We really are only like five episodes away from the end of Dressrosa.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because then it's going to be post-Dressrosa stuff.
And those parts of the arcs are usually pretty fun.
Yeah, they're like other places, other people, yeah.
It's like actually moving the plot, yeah.
Call me back when it's like Wano. When it actually like looks crazy good.
Whole Cake is a long arc, so...
It's a pretty good arc.
Yeah, it's pretty good, I think. It's all right. And the next arc is pretty short for One Piece, so...
Oh, what is it? Oh, right.
Zo.
Right, it's fucking Zo. Oh, right. Yeah. Zo.
Don't say anything because Seiya hasn't seen it, but yeah.
Right.
The next arc is kind of short, so.
Anyway, I'll let you guys discuss One Piece, and I'll be back some other time.
All right. Well, cool. Well, you're welcome anytime.
Thank you very much. Later.
See ya. All right. Let's move on to One Piece. One Piece, episode 729, Flame Dragon King. Protect Luffy's life. And this episode is basically everyone must rise up to save Luffy while he recharges.
Basically, everyone has to stall the birdcage for just like a minute. We have a sort of countdown, and we have like two different countdowns. We have like the countdown of the when the birdcage is going to basically collapse on the city center, and the countdown to Luffy coming back into action. And it's like, oh no, we have to stall for time, even just a minute. We have to slow down the birdcage so everyone. I watched four episodes back to back. And you know, it's One Piece, so it kind of blends all together and they repeat themselves a lot anyways. So, but all the characters are like pushing against the birdcage in some way, trying to slow it down.
There's basically two things happening. There is that, and then the other thing is all of the tournament contestants are fighting Doflamingo slash basically being human meat shields to give Luffy the 10 minutes he needs to recharge his haki. But it's not just the tournament people. It's also Sabo, because Jesus Burgess is here. Jesus wants to seal Luffy's devil fruit, but Sabo is here to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a lot of cool Sabo stuff in this episode as well.
Yep.
My notes basically just say that, oh, I do want to mention, too, that the man that picks up Luffy and carries him on his back, his name is Gyatz, and he's the announcer. Yeah. I didn't recognize him at first, and then I thought, oh, yeah, that's that guy.
It took me a minute. I was like, who is this guy? And, you know, eventually I realized, oh, yeah, he's the guy who was yelling over all the tournament stuff.
Yeah. Once I heard an announcer, I was like, oh, yes, right. It sounds exactly like him. And like Grex just said, we do get all of the contestants who were turned into toys and then back, including none other than our hero, Rolling Logan, who still doesn't roll, but does try to fight off Doflamingo. Doflamingo's just sort of taking everyone out. He just thinks of them like ants, basically.
Now, Luffy just kind of said he needs 10 minutes to recharge. We're just trusting Luffy's, like, do you know your body? I guess you know you need exactly 10 minutes.
Yeah.
To get your power back.
In the narrative, yes. He specifically says that with confidence, that it's exactly 10 minutes. I don't understand how he knows this. I also don't understand how he knows how Gear 4 works. Like, he just seems to pull it out of his ass. I don't know.
I'm sure there's maybe some explanation.
I think it's just like he learned this technique back when he was training, maybe, and he never used it till now. It's the way I take it, but I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they explained, like, here's how Gear 2 works and here's how Gear 3 works. And it has to do with, you know, like elasticity or inflating himself or in some specific way. However bullshit it is, but I'm sure there's a reason or a method, and you know how well they adhere to it or not in terms of whatever. He says he needs 10 minutes, and apparently we're just trusting him that, all right, in 10 minutes you're gonna be okay, right? You can finish this.
Yeah And I think he knows. I don't think it's like him guessing. I think apparently he somehow knows.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, like I said, Sabo fighting Jesus Burgess, holding his own, gets to use his flame fruit and all that stuff. And Doflamingo taking out the people while everyone else pushes, including Zoro and the samurai team. I just want to mention briefly that what's the tall guy's name?
The samurai?
Yeah. Starts with K or something. Golly. It's been a while since I've said his name. Kinemon.
Okay.
I will say that, like, dub Kinemon has been kind of the delight to me. You know, when you're watching the sub, he just sounds like a normal guy. Like, they don't do anything in the subtitles to kind of give him any weird way that he talks. He just talks like a normal character or human. But I like this localization where he has this, like, old English way of speaking.
Yeah, he speaks just like a little bit more formally, even though it's a little bit like it's kind of like intentionally stiff. He's not very casual. He's very like overly proper.
Yeah, I guess the idea is that he's, and maybe this is true in the original Japanese, that he speaks in a very super formal Japanese style from like olden times. But yeah, the way they do it is like, Sir Zorro, Sir yeah. Zorro, you die really think you can take down this impenetrable wall? Like, just the way he talks, it's kind of fun.
You know what it reminds me of? It's probably not exactly the same, but you know Rock Lee from Naruto?
Yeah.
Apparently in Japanese, I'm going by what I'm told, so this may not be fully accurate, but apparently Rock Lee speaks extremely like politely at all times. Uh-huh. And apparently in English, he still does that, but they make it so he like never uses contractions.
Okay.
So he will never use a contraction. He'll always spell it out or say it out. It is or whatever. Or I am. He'll never say I'm. And that's just kind of like one of those things in how they like localize it. Like some way of speaking in Japanese and, you know, for localizing it in English, it can't, not in a one-to-one way, because that's impossible, but in some way to represent it. And it's always kind of cool when you see.
I don't think I ever picked up on that. But that makes a lot of sense. That's a smart way to do that. Also, another character who does that is Data from Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he never speaks with contractions either.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's go on to the next episode, the final episode of the block for us as far as premieres. That's One Piece episode 730, Tears of Miracles, Mancherry's Flight. Is it fight or flight? I think it's fight. Huh, maybe I wrote that down wrong. It must be flight.
Flight makes more sense.
But I think fighting. I thought I wrote
maybe
that
it is, right. Or maybe she. This is her way of fighting.
Oh, they do say that. Yes, I think it is fight because she's like she can't fight, but this is her way of contributing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, everyone's running. Townspeople are going crazy, but then all these little like things, these little seeds, are falling down from the sky, and then one of them goes into Harudin, and he, the giant, and he gets up. He's healed. Everyone's
injured.
Yeah, you know who's not getting healed?
Loopy?
Yeah. Why?
We need a sensu bean.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't think I ever noticed it until this weekend, but that's a really freaking good point. Why is everyone in the land being healed except the one guy who needs it the most?
And even if it is like a 3-minute timer, they say that this is like a temporary reprieve or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that would have helped. Yeah. But maybe the fact that Luffy wasn't really like, I guess Luffy is probably injured to some regard, but it's more like a cool down or something. You know, I guess maybe you could argue that it wouldn't work because he's cooling down from his ability. He wasn't like injured in like a, you know, like a, an injury. That
oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe.
I'm sure you can argue that.
It's a hockey thing. And maybe her devil fruit power won't work because it's hockey. Yeah, I guess. OK, I'll give you a pass there. That's a good point, actually. It probably doesn't work on hockey because hockey and devil fruits kind of negate each other or whatever.
There was a point in this episode where a bunch of the Marines, apparently just regular Marines, can use at least a little bit of haki. Not all of them, but there was like a part in this episode, I forget which episode it was, but where the Marines are coming to help push the birdcage, and like a good squad of them started doing haki, like armaments or whatever, and like pushing against the wall. And they even say like, everyone who can't use haki, go that way and push the wall. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I guess just random Marines may be able to use haki now. Just maybe not significantly, but just to some small extent.
Yeah. I don't think I noticed that. I mean, I don't think haki, I guess that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I never really thought about it, but you're right. I guess haki's always been something I associated with really strong people, but maybe even an ordinary guy can learn to use it.
They showed a whole squad of just nameless, normal outfit Marines just doing it very quickly. But like, oh, okay,
yeah, I don't know, I guess I can't say that's impossible, but that is a little unusual. Yeah, like you said, everyone's pushing, Zoro's using it.
The biggest part of this episode is Viola basically is like, I'm gonna take down Don Flamingo. I was one of his you know, generals at one point as Violet, and I'm gonna take him out. Doesn't really work.
I think I stepped out for a moment because I don't remember that.
Yeah. No, it's. Wait, did I watch the wrong episode?
Maybe, because I don't remember that happening. I also don't remember the the people the mooks getting hockey either. So.
Oh, did I? Did I?
Did you go to 7:31?
I might have watched the wrong episode.
Okay. Well, do you remember seeing do you remember seeing Bartolomeo use his barrier to?
Yes. No, okay. I think I might have watched one more episode ahead. So one of the episodes this week. So I apologize.
That's okay. That was a big deal. No big deal.
Any spoilers? Viola basically tries to take out Doflamingo.
So. Wow, I'm actually kind of excited to hear about that. Actually, that's kind of more than she's done so far in 100 episodes. Yeah. Anyway, Barto uses his barrier and has a bunch of Don Quixote. He and a bunch of the like high tier pirates like Harujin and the long leg guy and a bunch of those other ones defeat a bunch of Don Quixote pirate mooks who are basically killing citizens. And then I do like that he uses his barrier and has all the strong people push against the barrier, which is just kind of smart. Robin is there.
I apologize. Here I am just saying stuff from the next episode. Whoops.
No, dude, I'm not upset or anything. Don't worry about it. Yeah. I mean, if you want, I can cut that out. It's no big deal.
No, it's fine.
You know, the thing is that could have happened and I would have, and I really honestly thought I just missed it. But anyway. Yeah. There's more Sabo versus Jesus Burgess, and it actually looks really good. Like the animation is really good in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like it's another option. It's another moment where you can kind of tell they handed it off to a different animator to like show off, and he did a really good job. Mm-hmm. And this is where we learn. Okay, so now we only through all that we've gotten it down to only 3 minutes left until the birdcage is. Crushes everyone, but we are told that it's going to take 4 minutes before Luffy is fully ready.
Yeah,
so we have we're down a minute. We need an extra minute. This is when we also learn that Mancherry is using her. She's creating these little things in her hand that are called Dendelixirs, which I thought was a clever name. Yeah. And those are the spores that are coming down and healing everyone except Luffy. But like you said, maybe it's a hockey thing. He can't be healed. And then the announcer comes in. And he's like, 3 minutes to go until everything is destroyed. Can Luffy come back? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, a fine episode. I guess it was just sort of like, I wish more happened in this episode because it was really mostly everything that's been happening. It's just more of it.
And I'm going to blame that for getting confused in my episode counts because they blend together. Yeah. They really this episode is the same as the episode before it and it's the same as the episode after it.
Oh, so. One other thing worth mentioning, though, is that out of nowhere, Law just flops down onto the ground in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I'm here. And it's like, what? Okay. But somebody brought it up in the thread. And I didn't even think about it. Like, where's what's his face?
Where's Cabbage?
Yeah, he's not around. And for what it's worth, like, I don't remember much of any of this. I mean, I've seen it before, obviously, like a decade ago. Yeah. But like, this is Dressrosa. So like it just as much as it's a blur for you to watch 4 episodes in a row, it's all a blur to me from when I watched it. Like, I remember everyone pushing on the birdcage. I remember Luffy needing to recharge. But like the details, I don't remember any of that stuff.
Yeah. The only other thing I have to say is I remember mentioning this before. Sabo can do his like Dragon Claw attack, and he could do that even before he had the Devil Fruit. Mm-hmm. And I remember confused, like, because he like broke the tournament arena with this ability before he had the Devil Fruit. I'm like, how does he do that? He just has this like Dragon Claw ability, and it's just kind of like that's just something he can do. Yeah. And then he actually like mixes that now with his dragon or with his flame fruit. He can do like this Dragon Flame Claw. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty strong now. The Flame Dragon King is the name of the move. And I was thinking to myself, like, why is it called Dragon? And then I remembered, oh, wait, Dragon, that's the name of the leader of the Revolutionary Army.
Yep.
So I guess it's just from that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually looking now. Yeah, I definitely watched episode 731, which is this Viola thing. So
okay.
I gave you a preview to that.
Yeah, okay. We get some Is she does she do her hand thing? I'm assuming not.
She does her she does remember how she could like turn her tears into like missiles? She does that.
Holy shit. Wow.
She tries it. I'm not going to say it works or not. But so
God, that's a blast from the past. I did forget she did that. Holy crap. All right, so that's it for the block. Let's talk briefly about flavor alerts.
Play flavor alert.
Potential award nominations.
Maybe it's too soon to do this, but I kind of want to put Yuha Baha on our list of names.
I think it's worth doing. He's clearly like the big bad. So
okay. Let me rip that up. Like, that just seems like a no-brainer. We're going to get a couple of goofy names, I'm sure, from this arc.
I mean, there's a couple of... We should probably keep it to new Bleach characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are a couple of existing Bleach characters that'll show up that have goofy names. Like, Nell. Do you remember Nell? The little girl.
Yeah, the little girl. Yeah.
Her full name is Nelly L2 Odalschwank.
I didn't know that.
I would post it here. Like, there's names like this, but we should probably just keep it to new characters.
Yeah. Oh my God. Look at that. How that spelled. That's crazy.
So, yeah.
I mean, I'm betting there's going to be some Quincy's with some goofy names.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this one guy, Quicks or whatever, doesn't. That's not good enough, I think.
And I have a feeling he's not going to last too much longer. He was just the early villain.
Yeah.
So.
Was there a fight this episode? I mean, not really. I think there's Sabo versus
Ichigo versus Jay.
Jay. I don't know. What do you think?
Nah.
Nah. Okay. I don't think Mansherry's dandelion power.
No, her ability is not that. Like, a lot of fantasy has someone with healing, and it's oftentimes like tears. It's kind of, it's not super creative.
Agreed. Yeah. That was the only kind of new power I think of off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a particularly bad moment this week?
Not really.
I'm kind of looking to. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything in like Lazarus, like best moment. Like, yeah, the assassin killing a bunch of people was cool, but
that's the problem with Lazarus, is that like every episode has like an amazing fight sequence or action sequence. It's kind of hard to like pick one, honestly.
But this didn't really involve any of our main cast, though. It was just like, oh, here's the assassin doing something cool, and basically just it's basically just there to show us, okay, this guy is dangerous and deadly, and our characters will have to deal with him. And we'll see how that turns out.
Mm-hmm.
But
what do you think about this Jay guy as being a villain?
No, I'd be surprised, but it seems like this guy's not going to last much longer.
Okay.
Like, I have a feeling he's just sort of like the early arc villain. I might be wrong, but like they just introduced at the end of this episode in Bleach, the Quincy's attacked the Soul Society, and it literally like did like a quick, you know, cutaways at like 10 different characters, all with unique designs. Like, this is our enemy squad that we're gonna have to mm-hmm. deal with. So we'll see if any of them are cool. But
yeah, I'm sure we're gonna get like one-offs with each of them. Also, Rukia showed up.
Yeah, she was there. She didn't do a whole lot, but she was around. She said a thing.
Is this like normal for her to like be such in the background? Okay.
Well, I mean, I think she's really just a Soul Reaper, and she's not high rank, I don't think.
I'm surprised because I just remember like
she's a main character, but she's not like a high ranking Soul Reaper.
But that's my question: is she a main character?
Well, she was.
But I guess, let me rephrase. Is she no longer a main character?
No, she should be.
Okay. Huh. She's been completely absent until this like one shot here. Do you think she's going to be a main character going forward? I wonder. I mean, you don't know, but I'm just kind of wondering. Like in the last, I don't even remember when it was on Toonami before, she was around, right? Like yeah, even in the final arc, she was around. Okay, yeah. I just don't remember.
Well, the final arc, she didn't show up until the end.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
I guess my point being was that, like, the fact that she hasn't been shown until the third episode, and it's, like a fleeting moment, I'm starting to wonder if, like, she's been relegated to just being a background character. But it sounds like she...
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope not. I mean, I'd like to see more of her. I'm just surprised that she's just not been around. But like you said, she's not one of the main humans.
She's a Soul Reaper.
Okay. Yeah, I learned a lot after we had our episode 2 weeks ago. Like I said, I watched a video and that kind of educated me a ton on things like that. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't even understand like what an Arrancar was.
Oh, yeah.
I had to learn what that meant. And yeah. Like, I did not know that Ichigo got his powers from her.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was in, like, the very first episode.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's going to be it for the awards. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for this episode. Just want to say thanks for Grex for coming on short notice there. I guess he just had some things he wanted to share. He hadn't had any opportunity to sort of give his feedback on the new block stuff. I want to thank you for being here, Seda.
Yep, no problem.
All right. And then we will be back next week for episode 429. And until then, later.